It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Rolls it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Optional Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. 105.7, 1340 AM. Hope everybody's good. Enjoying the blistering heat outside. Then I come in here and it's 61 degrees. Enjoying life. Tennessee gets beat yesterday in the SEC tournament down in Hoover. Now they wait to see where they go in the NCAA tournament. I thought they were going to. They gave up a big inning yesterday. A three-run inning. Gave up a homer. Turned things around. The pitching was not all stellar yesterday. So now they look forward to. Now they get a break. They'll get a. Good God. They'll probably. 10 days off before they travel to wherever they go for the NCAA regionals. I am Trey Wallace. Chance Collins. Hey, how are you?
Good.
It's good to see you.
How are you, Trey Wallace?
Shave?
I did shave.
Yeah, I need to do that.
You do need to do it.
Mine's growing out a little too long. Bad. No, it doesn't. It's just growing out a little long. No, it just.
Don't be critical.
It's critical thinking here.
Nah, I'm just saying, summertime. Clean it up.
It is good. No. When I'm playing that game, I compliment you, and then you could. Okay.
No, it's great. We'll hot play, day outside, man.
We'll play that game. That's fine.
It's hot.
NFL owners meetings going on today.
That's right. They're happening actually with Miami.
Juwan Howard as well. Yeah. Stuff going on.
He's got talks going
the
on.
Guy, how do you?
Buddy of mine.
The NFLPA just get in on that thing and say, hey, we're not doing some of these drills anymore. Is that pretty much what it was? They got rid of the Oklahoma drill.
I mean, likely. Try to reduce concussions, man. Player safety. Guys got to get through full seasons. Guys are bigger, faster, stronger. Ability to kill each other out there on the field. I mean, that's always been there, but even more prevalent with CTE scares and not knowing what's going on with that. Trying to make the game safer.
No, I understand.
One more step. I understand, like, doing it in practice precautionary methods like they're doing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you can only make it so safe in real time. Like they have tried over the years. I mean, it's still football, still fast game. But, yeah, they need to do these things like that in the offseason.
Only way they fix it is wearing some kind of padded helmet,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. If they do now.
Or no helmets.
Right. Yeah, just go full leather heads. Right.
It'd be safer.
Meetings going on down in the South Florida area. Other news that's going on is, like we just mentioned, Michigan. They're working on a deal with Juwan Howard to become the next head coach of the Wolverines. Yep. So a lot of these teams now are going this route.
Talks are intensifying.
Yeah, that's going to happen. He's going to be the new coach. So what?
Seems likely.
We've had Penny. We've had Jerry. Now I have Juwan.
Yeah. Got Patrick Ewing.
Bet they allow Chris Webber back in that building again. Yeah. You can't hire one of the Fab Five. And then,
but didn't they like try to like ask him to come back and he didn't want to because of the way they handled the whole money scandal?
But it was a nonchalant. Reading an article about that. It was like
I'm pretty sure like they like, you know, they extended the olive branch and he pretty much was like, nah.
They have done him dirty though. But I mean, let's face it.
With Juwan Howard getting the Michigan job, did you know this? Little fun fact.
Okay. Fun fact me.
With Juwan Howard getting the Michigan job, there are now 11 current college basketball head coaches that appeared in NBA Jam.
Really?
Yes. The 11 are Juwan Howard, Patrick Ewing,
okay.
Tony Bennett,
okay. Wow.
Johnny Dawkins.
Wait. Tony Bennett was Tony an Bennett NBA Jam.
Was an NBA Jam. Johnny Dawkins, Danny Manning, Donyell Marshall, Damon Stoudemire, Terry Porter, Penny Hardaway, Dan Thunder Marley, Thunder Dan, Bobby Hurley. And the few that were let go recently were Kevin Ollie, Chris Mullins, Mark Price, and also the preacher, Avery Johnson.
Dan Marley, he's at Grand Canyon Grand Canyon, University. They correct. Have an awesome arena.
Yeah.
You ever seen their student section?
I actually have. It's like a big party school,
it's
isn't it?
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, if I'd have known about that college back in the day, yeah. I would have probably gone to Grand Canyon.
11 current college basketball head coaches that all appeared in NBA Jam.
You play that a lot?
NBA Jam? Yeah, actually, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
At the bar that I work at, we have an NBA Jam Tournament Edition arcade game.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's pretty legit.
I have a little fun whenever I get done.
You don't get anything done, do you?
I mean, when I'm working, I can't really do that because I'm also, you know, manager on duty. So, like, it'd be like after close, I might get a couple games in before I go home.
Okay.
But it's fun.
I see.
And NBA Jam, dude.
And you've got that golf game.
Golden Tee.
Yeah.
I'm about to buy one of those personally. I found one.
You found a Golden Tee?
Well, it's not like the high-tech ones that they have, like, in bars and, like, big arcade barcades. Like, they have the big ones where you attach a flat screen to it, and it's a big one. It's, like, 2019 edition. It's not going to be one of those because those are, like, $4,000 brand new. This is actually classic. Like, have you ever seen, like, Walmart sells those arcade games now? Like, Pac-Man and things like that. Like,
yeah.
Battlestar Galactica, whatever it's called, Space Invaders. They sell those games. It's, like, a four-foot arcade game with a little riser on it that makes it even taller, got a little marquee and everything. And this Golden Tee has like Golden Tee Classic on it, 99, and then also has I think 98. Yeah, so it's like the original Golden Tees, and it's only I think it's like $500 from Best Buy.
Yeah, I'd get in on that.
Yeah, it's huge. It's
see,
nice.
See, I kind of want an iRacing simulator.
Yeah, what I really would like
build a computer.
Yeah,
not me build the. I can't build. Building
computers are easy. You could do it.
Okay.
It's really easy
we'll see
to
how
build
that
a computer.
Works out.
It's really easy. Yeah. A lot of people tell you. It's super easy.
Bubba's got one.
I'm sure Matt can speak on that. Building computers ain't tough, right?
I've never built one.
Oh, you never? I thought you were a big gamer guy, but no, they're really easy. I got a lot of buddies who play on like those souped-up computers. Really easy to do. A little nerd talk for you today.
Well, we just
really,
hit that mark.
Really easy for you to do. But no, excited about trying to get this arcade game.
Last night, speaking of arcade games and basketball, what's up with the Bucks, man?
Huh? Kawhi Leonard, they went to Toronto, went to Jurassic Park, and couldn't come away with a victory. Both teams winning on their home courts. Kind of what I expected.
2-2.
Great series now. Now we got a really good series. Kawhi Leonard, he played well, even though he was limping around. He willed his team.
Yeah, is he hurt? I mean, is he?
He was banged up last night. I don't know the extent of like how hurt he is, but no, he's banged up. He was limping around. Kyle Lowry, he had a big game, 25 points, I believe. Marc Gasol chipped in. Pascal Siakam, he had a good one. Even Norman Powell had another good like role playing game off the bench.
Pascal Gasol going from Memphis to Toronto and now has a chance to go play in the finals.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet had another big game as a role player off that bench. The bench showed up for Toronto. It did not for Milwaukee. Giannis, they shut him down to 12 points last night, I believe. It was crazy.
Did they really?
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard really.
Is that the final?
Kawhi Leonard really, they call him the Claw for a reason. I mean, he really played some lockdown defense on him. And I told people, like, it's really hard to, you know, count Leonard out. He's an amazing player. He's one of the top three best basketball players in the NBA we got right now. At least he's for sure top five. Top three, you might get interchange him and Steph Curry because it's definitely probably LeBron, Durant, Curry, and then you might switch Leonard and Curry around, Harden. You never know, but he's a top five player. He went out and did what he's supposed to do last night.
Look, I watched the whole game. I wasn't paying attention too much. I watched the second episode of Chernobyl. And
was that on Netflix or HBO?
HBO.
Okay. Out. Everybody keeps talking about this.
That
Russell was talking about it yesterday.
Whack.
I love it.
Whack? You don't like it?
Just no. It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I don't like
whack
it.
Whack means
just,
bad, though.
You know, the story, not the storyline.
I'm afraid
be like
I'm probably
storyline.
Not going to like it because everybody
it's
else
real
is already
graphic.
Liking it.
Like it, there's some graphic parts in it. And then
Chernobyl.
It gets, yeah, yeah.
So it's obviously about the Chernobyl experiment.
No, yes. It's not.
Thank no. you, Trey.
It's about a country.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like about Godzilla.
Thank you, Trey.
That's how it starts up.
Thank you, Trey.
Good Lord. of Mercy. That's coming out, too.
Yeah, the Godzilla.
Just getting everything off the bat in the first part. Godzilla going to be making that money.
No, what else has been coming out? College football preview magazines.
I can't wait for that. I know. And I got my Athlon one here.
Right here. I even had to put my initials on it because around this station saying
you
media.
You did put your initials.
I did.
Did you put your phone number on it, too?
No, I put my initials and the year because around this station sometimes you get a preview mag. I already saw Russell had one. They tend to get borrowed and not given back. Kind of like media numbers. I had a book one time and got lost for a long time with all these media contacts. I finally got that back, though. That's good. I did get that back. We won't call any names who had it. You know what I'm talking about, like the Football Writers Association.
Oh,
it's got some good numbers in there. I was going through it today. Thinking about a guest for the new show, The Blitz, debuting May 28th next week. Yep. Like I fit that one in there. 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, me, Rick Butler, Brandon Ork. But, yeah, I was thinking about, like, some guests trying to book for next week and stuff like that. And, yeah, some interesting names that Vol fans would like to hear from, too. Like, there's a number in there.
You're trying to tip the margin here and see how this plays out?
Oh, no, of course not. As much as I'm not a journalist as I once was, still, I never like put anybody's number out there or nothing like that. But I was like, wow, this number right here, and you know the number I'm talking about.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of fans that would love to have that. So, but got a little list of some people trying to get on next week.
The magazine, too.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we'll go through it today, and I want to read
coaches'
comments.
We got coaches' comments in here. I've even got some of those highlighted. Top five predictions from Athlon of the Vols. Not going to be finishing last, according to Athlon.
So second to last.
Jared Garantano's still getting a lot of hype, which is something that I think we have to talk about.
He made
about.
The cover. Why don't they throw
he
Jared
made
Taylor
the cover.
On the cover.
There's an entire spread about him. I mean, there's a lot about Jared Garantano, and I know some fans have already talked about this. But, yeah, I think we should go through it because are we being too critical of the kid? Because everybody else is like, he's going to have a good year. But I just didn't see it, man. Like, I feel like I'm the crazy one when everybody else is like, oh, he's going to have a good year this year.
Where? I'm still trying to.
Where?
Look, go prove it. Go prove it. I mean, I think the biggest game that can go off is the Auburn game last year. And I'll just be real honest, he was just chunking up balls to Callaway
and
Jennings.
Me, the anonymous coaches quotes from this year's Athlon on Tennessee, pretty good. There's pretty good ones for a lot of schools, like Vandy's too.
Okay, good. Yeah, I really can't wait to hear this. We're going to have Nick Bromberg join us at 1:20 today. But last
Excited
time
about
on, it's optional. We love Nick. We're going to talk NBA, talk NFL.
NASCAR too?
What is that?
One more ride for NASCAR.
What was he talking about? NASCAR. Yeah, we're going to talk about NASCAR. The Coca-Cola 600 this Sunday night. Charlotte Motor Speedway. Like 525 laps. It's boring as hell. So I'll give you the best template for the NASCAR race on Sunday.
I'm ready.
Watch the first 30 minutes. Take a 2.5-hour nap. Wake up and watch the last 40 laps.
Sounds like a plan.
That's your template for this weekend. A lot of great stuff coming up this weekend. And, too, Double or Nothing's coming up. You have no idea what Double or Nothing is.
That is a wrestling thing, isn't it?
How'd you know that?
Because I watch a lot of these things, but I do see a lot of these things come across my Twitter feed.
Double or Nothing's coming up this weekend. We've also got some golf coming up this weekend. We'll have, I don't know if the Stanley Cup will start. Congratulations to the Blues last night. They broke like a 49-year drought. They are going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I was texting TJ Mo last night. Congratulations to
they
him.
They are going. It's a party in St. Louis.
And they also, they were holding the game during a tornado warning right outside their arena last night. So
it's a
people
party,
were partying.
It's a party.
Yeah, so that was good for them. We'll talk about that more. You've still got, San Jose going on? Yeah, San Jose going on. So we'll see how that plays out. We won't have another Raptors Bucks game till probably Friday.
Yeah,
because now they'll travel to get 2 days off.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking today. That they'll probably give them 2 days off. They may only give them the one. I have to look at the schedule, but I think they'll get 2 days off, and the next game will likely not be till Friday.
God, that's depressing. What the hell are we supposed to do in the meantime?
I know, it's a lot of baseball. I guess
I don't want to watch baseball.
I know.
Not Major League Baseball.
I know you don't.
I watch some soccer.
Just saying, there's some a lot of MLS soccer. Going on.
See how that? Oh, wait a minute! No! I'll take that back. Nashville FC is on. SC is on tonight on ESPN2.
Women's World Cup coming.
That starts soon. I'm excited about that. Any kind of World Cup that involves the USA, I'm excited about because we've been deprived from it for 5 years now. So I look forward to that one. That's going to be fun this summer. Cowboy Troy, me and him are
Cowboy Troy
tweet back and forth. He loves his soccer, so I look forward to that. So let's go ahead right now. We'll catch a break. This Cliff Energy Bar is
got you wired.
Yeah, dude. The first time I've eaten an energy bar. I'm not a coffee guy or an energy bar.
You gonna be okay?
Yeah, I'm good. But this thing makes me want to run through a wall right now.
All right, then.
Back on the other side, Nick Bromberg's gonna join us. We're gonna break it all down.
Knoxville.
Welcome back to It's Optional. How many days?
You gotta love Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin just tweeted, penalty on number 62, 15 yards, re-kick. Stay alive.
Definitely was a penalty.
Let it go.
Threw his helmet off.
Penalty count that day.
Threw his
the
helmet
play
off.
Was over, though.
You can't throw your helmet off, though. I don't think the play was over. He blocks it, and he runs, and he threw his helmet off. Talking about Terrence Cody, right? Mount Cody. Normally, that is what we would call a penalty.
Yeah, I'm doing that thing again.
You are doing the thing again.
Yeah, but why
watching
would it,
a video where people can't see.
Oh, I get. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I get what they're talking about. But still wouldn't have made a difference. They already blocked the kick, right? So, I mean,
well, like you said, they would have had to re-kick because of the penalty. It'll push them back.
But possession was already in Alabama's favor once they recovered.
I think it is a re-kick, though, I feel like. Because that was like the talk that it should have been a re-kick. I don't know, maybe not. I feel like unless it's a – because the play's still going on. When he blocks it, the play's still going on. So, yeah, you would have to re-kick because it's personal foul, dead ball, re-kick, 15 yards from the spot, and they wouldn't have re-kicked. They would have – you know, they or Tennessee would have got 15 yards, and it would have been a closer kick. Probably would have made the second kick.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Do you not remember it?
No. I remember the kick. I remember the play.
And you said it's been how many? You said 4,000.
I was at the game.
4,000 however many days since Tennessee's beat Alabama?
4,596.
Wow, 4,596 days since Tennessee has beaten Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I was at this game.
That's crazy.
So,
another cool tidbit before we get Nick Bromberg on. It's now been 18 seasons since Tennessee's last AP top 10 finish. Let this sink in. And before this, the longest drought was only 12 seasons from 1973 to 1984.
Well, that's depressing. Let's go to the phone lines now. Nick Bromberg joins us from Yahoo Sports.
What a dude.
Nick, good afternoon to you.
Yo, the only solution here is clearly for the SEC to follow the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference's lead and kick Alabama out of the SEC for being too good.
I mean, I guess that would have worked. I mean, damn it.
Today, officially it happened. D3 St. Thomas has won 118 games over the last 11 seasons. They just got kicked out of their conference for being too good at football.
So where do they go now?
That's a great question. They are the highest enrollment. They have the highest enrollment of anybody in that conference. So there's a chance they could go D2. They could try to find somebody else who wants to take them. St. Thomas, I don't think not many people know who they are because I think everybody's really used to watches college football, used to seeing, you know, Mountain Union and Whitewater in the D3 title games. But St. Thomas is that team 2 years ago who won conference games in the span of 3 weeks, 84-0 and 97-0.
Oh, okay, and, I do, yeah.
Yeah, so they have ticked off enough people in the conference to where basically, per the conference bylaws, 9 of the 13 members had to say, hey, we want you out. And the conference issued a statement saying today that they are, quote, involuntarily leaving the conference, which makes it very clear that at least 9 of the 13 members in the conference did want them out because they're too good.
How the hell do you get kicked out of a conference? That blows my mind. Okay. I mean, I get it, I guess. Guess they could go the South Dakota State route, go to that conference. I mean, I don't know. That's weird.
They're going to have to. They could move up to D2. That seems like it could be a possibility. But I just, you know, not that I've been covering college football forever by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm having a hard time finding a parallel to this situation.
I agree, man. Goodness gracious. Well, that's the wacky part of the interview, which I didn't know. So that's great news that I have to – I actually want to look into that more because I want to see how many teams have actually had that dumped to them in the past, which is absolutely crazy. Nick, NFL owner meetings going on while they're on vacation down there. Let's not act like they're all in there just – you know, and they're just going after each other on rules the whole time, probably enjoying themselves as well, making a lot of backdoor deals. But they eliminated some drills. I saw where an overtime rule was trying to get, not proposed, but trying to get voted on, but they tabled that discussion. Anything coming out of these owners' meetings that are worth a darn besides Goodell saying he's going to let the Chiefs investigate Tyreek Hill before they do?
You know what? I think there actually is, especially for people like yourself in Knoxville, who everybody in Knoxville may not exactly be a Tennessee Titans fan. The NFL has killed the single-header television rule, which guarantees that every market will have three NFL games on the course of a Sunday afternoon. There used to be a rule, and I'm hoping I get this completely correct. I think NFL diehards will understand what I'm talking about. As to if there was, say, your team was in a doubleheader and the doubleheader window and playing at home, there could not be a game on the opposite network. So if like the team was home on CBS, there couldn't be an opposite game on Fox at that same time. They have eliminated that rule, which means there will be three NFL games available to anyone at any single point on Sunday afternoons going forward.
So wait. So, okay. So break this down again. So if the Titans are on, the Titans are using on CBS because of how the conference plays out. But every now and then they play on Fox. So really, what does it mean when you really, if you break it down Titans-wise, and I know you just kind of went over it again, but break it down like I'm a five-year-old here. So you're saying that they'll be able to broadcast games on the other channels as well at the same time?
So basically what it was is if the Titans are at noon or 1 o'clock Eastern on CBS, and CBS, and they're at home, okay, and CBS has the single header that weekend and Fox has the double header that weekend, you would not get, if you're in that Nashville market, you are not going to, and the Titans are home, you're not going to get a game on the opposite network at the same time as the Titans game. You're only going to get that second doubleheader game after the Titans game. You're not going to get
that sucks.
First doubleheader. So no, that used to be the rule. Now you're going to get the first doubleheader game opposite the Titans game on Fox, plus the Fox 3:30, 4:30 game after it, instead of just simply getting the Titans early kick on CBS, late game on Fox.
Yeah, that would bother me sometimes because maybe the Titans game was horrible and I'd want to flip over, you know, and I don't have like the DirecTV pass or whatever the game, whatever it is, and I turn on Fox, it's a bunch of infomercials until they kick off for the 3:30. So
right, so it works out great for those of us who, you know, don't have CBS, don't have NFL Sunday Ticket, don't want to pay for it, or who may not be, you know, if you're living in a big city and you're not a fan of the home team, that this works out perfectly for you because there's a better chance you could actually see your team on Sunday without having to have Sunday Ticket.
Phew, well, that works out perfect. I'm going to have to tune into the Red Zone channel now to find everything I need to know. So that works out really good. The NFLPA and the NFL gets together and they discuss, you know, the Oklahoma drills, all these headbanging, pretty much practice drills, and they decide to cut that out. Is that the players going to them and saying, hey, look, we don't need to do this anymore. There's no reason for it.
You know, and I think that there's also a little bit too, if you cave, I don't know if cave is the right word, but if you acquiesce to some of these player concerns going forward, the less you can potentially acquiesce when the new collective bargaining agreement comes in the next couple years, and you can say, hey, look what we've done for you, you need to do this for us. Because I think we all know that as the NFL labor, the current labor agreement winds down, we're heading for a fairly contentious dispute in terms of revenue sharing, because as I completely understand, the players want guaranteed contracts, they want a greater share of the pie, owners are going to be reluctant to give it to them. So, you know, it's good for the players, don't get me wrong, but I think it's also, you know, the owners in the NFL are viewing this tactically and saying, well, hey, we can do this now because we may have to give, we potentially could give a little bit later.
So, Juwan Howard to potentially Michigan. And you're starting to see this more, Nick, where you've got these former players now turning into to head coaches. Is this trend going to continue on? Is this another? I guess what I'm asking, if do you think Ed Cooley pulled out of this thing knowing that Juwan was going to get it the whole time? And do you think that somebody like Juwan Howard could come into the Big Ten and actually make some play?
You know, Ed Cooley's situation kind of looks similar. I think a good parallel to Tennessee would be Rick Barnes or Mike Gundy, in the sense of using your current job and getting a nice lucrative contract extension and staying put. But, you know, I think also you got to look at this. Is Juwan Howard an attractive of a candidate 6 to 12 months ago without the recruiting success Penny Hardaway's having at Memphis? Maybe, potentially, who knows? I think he looks a little bit more, and this looks obviously a lot more like a trend because of what we're seeing Penny doing in terms of recruiting-wise at Memphis. And now, you know, Penny has to prove it. This is a make-or-break year, for lack of a better term, right now for Memphis because of the recruits they're getting. So the onus is on him to win now. There'll be a little bit of a learning curve with Juwan Howard, but he's also come into a program that has had NCAA tournament success the last couple of years. He needs to win now, too. So if he can keep that assistant coaching staff relatively intact, then, you know, you've got a pretty good floor to work with there at Michigan, given their recent success.
Seems to make sense. We'll see how Jerry Stackhouse rounded out his staff yesterday. So it'll be
I totally blanked on Stackhouse in that discussion. I think, what was the stat? It was now 11 guys who were in the original NBA Jam or NBA Jam at some point, but now college head coaches.
Chance brought that up earlier. Yeah, the NBA Jam part of it, 11 coaches. Yeah, that's no, it's as neat, which is, and I still think one of the coolest jobs out there. I know it's not the most glamorous one, but the one Dan Marley has at Grand Canyon, because that is the craziest looking environment for a college basketball game that I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And, you know, he's a little less pressure. He's got, you know, Dan's not exactly having to do this for the money here. He can go coach, have fun, do some crazy stuff because you don't have the giant spotlight on you. I don't blame him at all for wanting to just hang out there and have some fun.
Switch this thing to Tennessee football for a minute, and a lot of people are tripping out because of recruiting, and I go back and I point to where Florida was at last year when it comes to recruiting, in a sense of their fans are getting a little agitated last summer because they weren't getting a lot of the big names, and they're getting pissed off at Dan Mullen, and it's kind of the same thing that's going on here in Knoxville, where they're not seeing a lot of these big guys commit, and Tennessee fans are kind of look, the message boards light up, and you know that. A lot of keyboard warriors that want to get mad, and I understand it too, to be honest with you. But let me ask about Jeremy Pruitt. This year, in this home slate that he's got, where, you know, he's throwing in Georgia State, Chattanooga, UAB, BYU, you know, is this a year where he's got to win 7 to 8 games if he's going to have a decent career at Tennessee? Like, he's got to build upon the atrocity of last year, right?
Yes, and I think you have to.
And I mean that in a sense, if he's going to be here for like 5-6 years. That's what I mean by
right,
that.
No, without a doubt. Anything less than 4-0 in the non-conference slate, given what we've seen from BYU, and I think, you know, UAB had a fantastic season last year.
Yeah.
But they got beat pretty handily by Texas A&M late the season, and that's the same situation as it is at Tennessee this year. You got to go 4-0, and so you go 4-0. That then sets you up to 3-5 simply in the SEC. Simply 3-5 gets you a 7-win season. 4-4, you're looking at 8 wins. Now, you know, I think the schedule lines up nicely for Tennessee because Mississippi State at home, that's a winnable game given all of the defensive turnover that's happening at Mississippi State, even though Tommy Stevens is now going to be the quarterback and probably will beat out Tatian Thompson for the starting job.
Absolutely.
South Carolina at home is a winnable game. You've got a Kentucky team that lost a lot, and that's a winnable road game. You know, who knows right now about Missouri? That's going to be a game at the end of the end of the season. We still don't know if they're going to be bowl ineligible or not. If they are and they're having a bad season, you can see that as a pack-it-in game for the Tigers and another winnable game for Tennessee. This lines up perfectly. And to your recruiting point, you know, the company Tennessee's keeping right now in the rivals rankings in terms of the 2020 class is not really that bad. I mean, you're a top 25 class, according to rivals, just ahead of Texas, just behind Auburn, ahead of South Carolina and Mississippi State. I think, personally, that's reasonable. That's actually really pretty good, given the relative lack of success in Knoxville over the last 5 years.
It's interesting. Look, it's interesting to see. We've kind of talked about it a lot here. Ticket sales that are going on, and this is all across the country. They're trying different things. But, like, Tennessee's got a thing that's going on from, I think it's Thursday to Tuesday, where they're selling tickets for $25 a piece for all the non-conference games and then the Vanderbilt game at the end. But then they also have this thing, Nick, where if you pay $280, you can go to all 8 home games next year. You just don't know where you're going to be sitting at each week. Like, are we getting to that point in college football? And look, I talked about it too. We saw all around the country, from Florida to Athens to College Station, where if you're not playing somebody, you know, top notch, you're going to have 8,000 to 10,000 empty seats. Are we getting to that point where universities have to try anything and everything to fill up their stadium because of the way it looks on television? Like, it just blows my mind. They're selling tickets for $25 a piece, and then they're also, you know, going to sell this Vol Pass thing for $280, and you get season tickets, but you don't have to make a donation like any other regular season ticket holders.
Yeah, I think so, but also I think you have to look at it too. This is a little bit of a byproduct of the widespread TV deals that these conferences now have. And that's good and bad. You know, a lot of times, what was it? We're both old enough to remember that, you know, a lot of times where your game didn't get picked for one of the national windows, it might have been on the local TV, maybe even pay-per-view, or not even at all. You're going to sit and listen to the radio.
True.
And so that obviously made diehards want to go to football games. Now you've got the SEC Network. Games are available to pretty much everyone, anytime, any place. And then that brings in the school a ton of revenue. And this is a problem similar to NASCAR, where the at-home viewing experience is just as pretty good as being there at the track or at the stadium. And then also from the team, track, fantasy body series, whatever you want to call it, standpoint, ticket revenue is still an important piece, but it's not nearly as important piece as it used to be because of how many dollars the TV contracts bring in. So Tennessee can afford to say, hey, look, you know, we can sell you, what is it, 8 games for $280? That ends up being, what, like $35 a ticket?
Yep.
So that's a pretty good deal if you want to come to Knoxville for 8 games. Now, you know, in this world, in 2019, how many people want to commit to 8 Saturdays a year in the fall? Not many, but if you get, you know, a couple thousand, well, that's probably a couple thousand more people than you would have also otherwise.
I do agree with it. I think more or less they try to make up for concessions and stuff along those lines by trying to sell these cheap tickets too. Okay, you know, we'll sell a $25 ticket, but then also on the back end of it, you know, they're probably going to come spend $30-$40 on concessions as well. So I get it. I just have to wonder now if this thing changes within 3 to 4 years if all these SEC schools start allowing alcohol at their stadiums.
I think so too. That's the big frontier. And then what do you charge for that alcohol, and how do you, because I think a lot of people are counting that on being the cash cow, because we tend to overlook it, even those of us who live in this era, in that, or this, in the sports, that, you know, stadiums are chasing, they're not chasing people like you and me. They're chasing the people who are those big dollar donors, people who are going to shell out the money for the suites. They want the corporate sponsorships. Because, I mean, if you look at every new stadium rendering that you see, it's always about what the high-class people are going to experience in the suites and the type of catering and all the exclusive lounge access. I mean, there's perks for everybody else, too. But, you know, they're not going to sit here and show you. This is what it looks like if you sit in the second to the last row of the brand-new stadium. yeah, you'll probably get Wi-Fi, you may have cheap concessions, but you're not going to have nearly the experience of the person whose company is paying $1,000 ticket for 8 games and is also having to buy a personal seat license. So, you know, I do think that there's some things that a lot of, and not just college football, that everyone across the board can do to cater for the much larger subset of people who do not have the corporate ability to go use corporate tickets or the discretionary income to sit there and budget 4 figures for their sporting event watching.
Makes sense. The Coca-Cola 600 is coming up on Sunday. And this past weekend, I had the privilege to text you while you were at a wedding and show you a video of Clint Bowyer and Ryan Newman going at it. Give me your thoughts on last weekend in the All-Star race. You know, I'm sure you've been able to DVR and go back and watch the last, you know, 15, 20 laps, see how things played out. But was that good for NASCAR when you saw something like that? I mean,
on a personal level, I had to laugh and sit here and say the day after I wrote the All-Star race needs to go away column and the one All-Star race that I haven't watched in I don't know how many years turns out to be a race that everybody enjoyed, and there was a absolutely ridiculous fight at the end. Because I'm sorry, if you're going to go punch somebody, take your helmet off,
yes,
let him get out of the car. I understand the anger, but come on, you cannot run over to somebody's car and start throwing punches through the window. Nat Clint, come on, man. But the All-Star race had what I think a lot of people had wanted from NASCAR, and that's outside of the fighting perspective. I mean, it seemed like the racing seemed close. I'm not sure how easy passing was, but the racing was close. Guys were beaten and banged to the finish line because there was no points and because the races were so short. I mean, the longest stage, I think, was 30 laps. That first stage in the opening of the All-Star race and every open race stage was 20 laps. So guys aren't going to get spread out from each other. They're going to be able to stay close. There's no pit stops under green. It's conducive for that type of racing, especially with the changes that NASCAR made specifically for the All-Star race to keep the races even closer. Now, that said, I hope no one watching that race on Saturday night is going to go expect the same thing this Sunday at the Coke 600. It's going to get strung out. There's going to be long stretches where there aren't any crashes or any cautions or things like that. I do wonder just a little bit based on, you know, what we talked about last week is if it's going to come down to basically the Coca-Cola 100 or 150, where it's going to be 450 miles of guys spread out, and then they'll be close to the last 150 or 100 miles as the sun goes down. We'll see, but I'd be pleasantly surprised if I was a NASCAR fan and I saw at Charlotte on Sunday what happened at Kansas 2 weeks ago.
Seems to make sense. Last question on the way out, buddy. NASCAR is buying, IMS?
IC.
And they've been talking about, I remember us talking about this 4 months ago, but things are sounding like they're starting to get finalized here. Just real quickly, what are the big perks out of this thing, and does it help Nashville in any way?
I don't necessarily know, because SMI, Speedway Motorsports Inc., there's, for people who aren't really familiar with how NASCAR tracks operate, two big publicly owned corporations own most of the NASCAR tracks. One's ISC, International Speedway Corporation, which is spun off by the France family, and then there's Speedway Motorsports Inc., or Speedway Motorsports Inc., which is run by the Smith family. They're the ones trying to do the Nashville plan next to the MLS stadium, so this is just simply ISC. The France family and NASCAR are taking ISC back private. They are buying the shares from all the non-France family shareholders at like $45 a share, I believe. That was announced today, and that basically ends a class action lawsuit by some shareholders who wanted more for their money. That's happening. I think the dream scenario for a lot of people is that NASCAR would now take all these tracks that are owned by ISC, put them under the NASCAR umbrella, and this allows them to freely move race dates from track to track and really rejigger the schedule since they don't have to answer publicly to shareholders. That being said, I'm in a wait-and-see, show-it-when-you-mean-it thing when it comes to schedule changes. I think the 2020 schedule was a step in the right direction. But as we've seen with this Nashville thing and how I think the cart has gotten way, way, way ahead of the horse, I want to wait and see and actually have some tangible plans before, in 2021 and beyond, before NASCAR, before we start thinking about potential changes to the NASCAR schedule in a couple of years.
Nick Bromberg, always fantastic, buddy. Look forward to having you on my new time slot starting next week from 3 to 6 Eastern, man. And I appreciate you coming on with us all year long in this time slot, man. And tell everybody where they can follow you and your fantastic work.
Well, first off, congrats on the move to drive time. That's fantastic.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that, man.
And no, that's great. Sports.yahoo.com, as always, we are going to have everything you need to know from the best day in racing, 1,268 miles from Monaco to Indy to Charlotte. As long as my basement's not flooding, we'll be watching every single mile.
I can't wait, especially the Indy. Bring it all on, and let's just have a good day of racing. So we'll see
The Indy 500, for better or worse, is the one race that I sit there the entire time with my stomach in knots. And so
they're going 285 miles an hour. So, yeah. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it, buddy. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right, brother. Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. We got to catch a break. Be back on the other side. What was going on over there?
Phenomenal. Listens and...
Well, a long year. Hour number one. Appreciate Nick Bromberg for joining us today. Been a great guest. Always a good time with him. I get caught up in this beat. I do. SEC baseball going on.
You a beat maker?
Not in it. No, I'm not a beat maker. I'm just
never.
I mean, I can throw some rhymes down. I mean, I have that in me, thanks to B Rabbit. Got the inspiration. Tunes to happen. Give me some quotes.
Which ones you want?
I don't know. I kind of want.
You want to go random? Just flip to a random team.
Go random. Okay.
Flip to a random team. We'll save Tennessee for hour number two.
Okay. Give me some random.
I'm gonna flip to a random team. I'm flipping. This is all SEC
and
teams. Obviously. Stop. Okay. We have settled upon Missouri.
Okay.
Opposing coaches sizing up Missouri. Quote, losing Drew Locke is massive for them. He might have been the best quarterback in the SEC besides, or maybe even including Tua.
Damn.
What's Derek Dooley going to do with Kelly Bryant? Juicy stuff. He could be a special talent, but you need to build around him. He's not Locke. If Dooley is smart. I'm sorry. Okay, they're going to bring in a lot of stuff Bryant did at Clemson rather than fit him into Locke's shoes. They could have a really solid backfield with Bryant and the running back Larry Rountree. Good running back.
Yep.
He might be the sleeper running back in college football, or at least this conference. They were really banged up there last year, but he really caught on well. If you can stay healthy running the ball, they've got a great receiving core. All their top production guys are back. Offensive line is solid enough for returning guys that could be really good. Barry Odom is the secret weapon.
Long-ass quote.
Yeah, this is a long quote. Barry Odom is the secret weapon on defense.
He gets a group.
This is a good one. He gets a group of okay players and just a few legit SEC guys. And guess what? Then they're always in good position.
So it's like Rick Barnes.
Yeah, they fill the gaps really well. This is a really boring quote, actually, besides the Dooley stuff. Yada, yada, yada. Really don't care. I think they can jump up and scare a lot of teams in the conference if they can keep things together with the what? NCAA investigation.
Which they have filed an appeal. We'll see how that plays out.
Take away the controversy stuff, and this could be a really fun offensive football team. I only like the Dooley stuff there.
See, I want to know these coaches.
All right, we'll go to some more as we go along.
We're going to hit this up in the second hour.
Yeah, I'll keep doing them random.
I look forward to it. We'll come back and do one more random that came up. Go to break. It's optional Fox Sports Knoxville. Hopefully for the beat drop.
You like this song?
No, it just reminds me of all the Ocean's 11 movies.
It's also from the tell you every time from the Vegas TV show.
Yeah, I know that, but that
song. That's what I remember.
I don't think a lot of people recognize that show more so than George Clooney and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon.
Okay.
No, it was a good TV show.
It's a very good TV show.
Josh Duhamel.
Mm-hmm. Married to Fergie.
Yeah, it gave a lot of background into Vegas. But if you want to watch a Vegas movie, you watch Casino.
Yeah, I like the Ocean's 11, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I meant...
The original?
I meant, like, Gangster Vegas.
Nah, I know what you're saying.
All right.
Old Vegas.
I want to pick another random.
Do you want to pick one this time?
No, no, no.
So it can't be random if you pick it.
No, well, I want you to go through the randoms.
Makes doesn't make a lot... All right. We're searching.
And
boom.
Stop.
You guys are going to love this one.
Okay, I'm excited. Which one?
Getting lucky in Kentucky.
Oh, God.
Opposing coaches size up Kentucky.
I'll just go to break.
Tons of questions. The team going to look the most different on both sides this season. Ton of defense lost. You don't replace a Josh Allen at Alabama. And you sure as hell don't at Kentucky. Whoa! Good stuff.
Oh, my God.
He's the best edge rusher in the game.
That was Kirby Smart.
Their secondary is basically starting over. Good news is line of scrimmage league, and they're really solid on both the offensive and defensive line. They'll get their tackle, Landon Young, back from ACL tear. He'll be a huge asset. I'd worry more about the offense. The needs are obvious. Losing Benny Snell is a huge blow. He's their all-time yards guy. They got a stable behind Snell of faster, more dynamic guys, not grinders, though. 80 grand will have to go back to that Cincinnati stuff, spreading the ball around, going faster. Terry Wilson can run like a scalded dog. Terry Wilson can run like a scalded dog, but he's got to improve throwing the ball on third down. They need better execution, passing, and receiving. Won't have the defense to bail out short drives. They're going to fall back some this year because of how good the league is, but I think Mark Stoops has done a great job. Even if they end up at 500, they're still going the right direction. They're just not a reload team. Going to need about 1 year to rebuild.
The hell's their – yeah, okay.
Hmm.
They've
been living in Ohio recently with recruiting, but after last season, they can push farther south and get interest from other kids down south. If they can translate last season, Trey Wallace, into recruiting, they'll be back playing those New Year's Day bowls in a year or two. Oh,
good God, go to break. We'll be back in the second hour. That was Kentucky.
Hello, I'm your wife.